Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The book of Romans differentiates between sin and sins. Approximately the first four chapters of the book of Romans deals primarily with sins, plural. Chapters 1 through 5:11, according to Schofield's notes, may differentiate with other notes, but Schofield's notes said about chapter 1 through verse 11 in chapter 5. So chapter 1 to chapter 5, verse 11, shows us that man has committed sins before God, plural, the act of sin. The next four chapters deal primarily with sin, singular, which shows us what kind of person man is before God. The first four chapters teach us that we need to be forgiven of our sins, plural. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let's read that again. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, means a sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission or forgiveness of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So the blood of Christ brings about the forgiveness, the remission of our sins. Plural. Notice the word sin is plural. Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We find in other scripture verses throughout the Bible, and Paul says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Peter said in the second book of Peter, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. John says in 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Sins are forgiven. The book of Revelation, John writes, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Plural. Now the next four chapters teach us that we need to be, key word here, freed from the strong and powerful law of sin, singular. Paul says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Notice it's singular, freed from sin. But now being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and even everlasting life. Turn your Bibles to Romans 6. Excuse me, and take a look at what it says here in 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? That's speaking of baptism. We did that last week with Dan and Mimi and Danica. When they're buried, it says here, 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice it says, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a responsibility we have to take on in our lives. That we are dying to that old sinful flesh and renewing our lives in the likeness of Christ, 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We are putting on that spiritual body, and we want to be like him in his resurrection. We want to be like Christ. Dying to that old man, 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, singular, the sinful flesh. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. So Roman numeral 6 in your notes. sin within, sins, plural, without. The solution to sin comes when we are no longer under its power and have nothing to do with it. The solution to sin comes when we are no longer under its power and have nothing to do with it. The Bible never says the forgiveness of sin, singular, but only the forgiveness of sins, plural. Neither does the Bible speak of being freed from sins, plural, but instead freed from sin, singular. The twofold nature of divine truth. The dual problem of man. And we need forgiveness of sin, so we have a dual solution from God, the dual solution of salvation. Forgiveness of sin and freed from sin. Forgiveness of sins and freed from sin. The only thing that we need to escape and be freed from is that which entices us and compels us to commit sins. So what do we do to our babies when we say no? And they go and do what you just told them, no, you have to spank them, right? You have to spank them. We don't want to get spanked. That's the chastisement, Hebrews chapter 12. We don't want to get spanked by God, because getting spanked by God is a lot different than getting spanked by our parents. They were more compassionate than possibly God can be, but God is patient. He's more merciful, but he's also, it can be a little more stinging than parents spanking. Sin, now take out your pens, fill in the blanks. Here comes the lesson. Stay tuned. Keep up. I got a master copy. If you don't get them all, I'll give it to you, let you look at it, and you fill in your blanks that you didn't get it filled in. You students who are fresh out of school, you can handle this. You're capable of doing this because you follow teachers, but us older folks, we'd have a little bit of a problem because we've been out of school for a while. Sin is in the flesh. Sin, singular, is in the flesh, whereas sins, plural, are in our conduct. Sin is in the flesh, whereas sins, plural, are in our conduct. Number two, sin is a principle within us. It is a principle of the life we have. Let me define that word principle as you're writing that word out. Element, a major part of our being. It's who we are. It is just part of our nature. Sin is a principle in us. It is a principle of the life we have. Sins, on the other hand, plural, are acts committed by us. They are acts in our living, acts, A-C-T-S. Number three, sin is a law in our members. Sins, plural, are transgressions that we commit. Sin is a law in our members. Sins, plural, are transgressions that we commit. Number four, sin is related to our being. Sin is related to our being. Sin, plural, are related to our doing. Sin, singular, is related to our being. Sins, plural, are related to our doing. You were born with that sin, singular. Your actions after you were born are your doings, the sins, plural. Number five, sin is what we are. Sins, plural, are what we do. Sin is what we are. Sins, plural, are what we do. Number six, sin is in the realm of our life. Sins, plural, are in the realm of our conscience. Sin is in the realm of our life. Sins, plural, are in the realm of our conscience. Number seven, sin is related to the power of the life we possess. Sin is related to the power of the life we possess. I'll say it one more time. Sin, singular, is related to the power of the life we possess. Sins, plural, are related to the power of the conscience. Sins, plural, are related to the power of the conscience. Let me point this out, make this note that you don't have in your notes, but let me just point this out, explain number seven a little more, and seven and six. A person is governed by the sin in his natural life, but he is condemned in his conscience by the sins committed outwardly. A person is governed by the sin in his natural life, but he is condemned in his conscience by the sins committed outwardly. That's the conscience. Number eight, sin is something considered as a whole. Sin is something considered as a whole. Let me point out, some of you have been paying attention to this case that this man who kidnapped that young girl and killed her parents before he killed, and he'd just been sentenced to life multiple times. He'd been remorseful, he wished he could bring the parents back, but his conscience is seared. His conscience, which thankfully he has a conscience. I shouldn't say it is seared because he's remorseful, but he still did the act. His conscience is condemning him. Sin is something considered as a whole, and I don't know, I don't remember the whole story, I've just followed it on a slight scale, but I don't know if he was on drugs or alcohol or what possessed him to do what he did, but you can see how the alcohol or drugs affected his conscience at the time of the act that he committed, but now he's looking back at, and his guilt is condemning him in his conscience. Verse 8, number 8. Sin, singular, is something considered as a whole. Means it covers all of mankind. Every one of us in this room is affected. Every baby coming into this world is affected by it. We're all affected by the sinful nature. Sins, plural, are something considered case by case. Your sins, my sins, are different from one another in this room. Some sins, even the Bible explains, some sins are more heinous than other sins and are more severely punished, just as we were talking about murder and rape earlier. That you don't apply that to thievery, or you don't, apply this the execution of a thief or the execution of a liar, but you talk about the execution of a murderer. So there's sins are dealt with case by case. Verse 9, sin is inside of man. Sins, plural, are before God. Sin, singular, is inside of man. Sins, plural, are before God. Number 10. Sin requires our being made free. Sin requires our being made free. Sins, plural, require our being forgiven. Sin, singular, requires our being made free. Sins, plural, require our being forgiven. Number 11. Sin correlates to our need of sanctification. I hope after a year of sitting under my preaching, I will give you a satisfying understanding of sanctification and justification. Sin correlates to our need of sanctification. Sins, plural, correlate to our need of justification. Let me interject here before we go on to number 12 and give you an illustration. In a court of law, a criminal can be acquitted of a crime, but the court cannot prevent that criminal from going out into society and committing the crime again. A court can acquit you of a crime, of a wrongdoing, but the court cannot change who you are, right? We put people away, lock people up all the time in prison. They get out after a certain period of time. They've served their time. And what usually happens? They go back and do the same crime, commit the same crime over again. So in a court of law, a criminal can be acquitted of a crime, but the court cannot prevent the criminal from going out into society and committing the crime again. A court can only justify, it cannot sanctify. Sanctification is related to holiness or separation of the believer from evil things and ways. For this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the same chapter that speaks of the pre-tribulation rapture. But it talks seriously on sanctification. Hebrews 12:14 says that follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification, holiness, must be earnestly and undeviatingly pursued by the child of God. Follow is the key word. Hebrews 12:14. You can write that down and go back and look at that verse. Follow peace. Here's an important rule. To believe or trust is the act of the will of the mind. To believe or trust is the act of the will of the mind. Whereas to follow is the act of the will of the flesh. In parts of Scripture, we're told to believe and trust. In parts of the Scripture, we're told to follow. So to believe or trust is the act of the will of the mind, whereas to follow is the act of the will of the flesh. The Holy Spirit is the agent in sanctification. The Romans 15:16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and you don't have these verses in your notes, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, again we see that word, gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Christ died and satisfied the wrath of the Father because of sin and the sinful nature. But we still have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to get honored or condemned for how we follow and allow the Holy Spirit to be exercised in our life. Are we going to be follow Him obediently? And every person in the Lord follows Christ differently. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Salvation is a twofold event. It includes justification, sanctification. One deals with the sins, plural. One deals with the sin, singular. Justification, just to refresh our understanding of justification, denotes the act of pronouncing righteous, acquittal from guilt of our past sins, our old sins. All that was necessary on God's part for justification had been effected in the death of Christ. That God justifies the believing sinner on the ground of Christ's death involves His free, unmerited gift of life. Justification involves the work of Christ. Sanctification deals with the work of the Holy Spirit. Justification deals with the work of Christ. Number 12. Sin, plural, sin singular, is a matter of overcoming. The book of Revelation deals with that extensively. Overcoming. Sin is a matter of overcoming. Sins, plural, are a matter of having peace in one's heart. Number 13, sin is in man's nature. Sins, plural, are in man's ways. Sin is in man's nature. We've talked about that. Sin, singular. Sins, plural, are in man's ways, his actions. Number 14, sin singular is what man is a servant to. Sin is what man is a servant to. Sins plural are what man serves up, is what man serves up. Sin is not a popular word in today's culture, is it? The Bibles today want to pull the word sin out, want to pull blood out, want to pull our need for redemption out of the scriptures. They want to pull out the divinity of Christ. Sin's not popular. Number 15, sin is dealt with through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Christ will receive the power of the Spirit. There's power in the Holy Spirit. Problem is, in our culture today, in Christianity today, in America, we see no power. A powerless church. The world's running over the church. In the book of Acts, the church ran over the world, turned the world upside down, the heathen cried out. The church made the inroads. At the end of the age, 2,000 years later, the church has taken a back seat. Sin is dealt with through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sins, plural, are dealt with through the shed blood of Jesus Christ for remission.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.